Hello, Grinders, and welcome to the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here to give you the NBA slate that we have today for Friday. It's a pretty good one. We got 11 games on the slate, so let's just get started. A lot of games to talk about, a lot to break down, so let's start it up. First game we have on the slate, we got the Miami Heat and the Charlotte Hornets, and just to let you guys know, we'll be talking fantasy draft pricing here on the Daily Fantasy Fix, so Miami Heat and Charlotte Hornets, 203.5 team total. This is a game that's, obviously, like, lower total on the slate. Not one that, I'm going to be totally all over. There's some injuries, though, right, that we definitely can take advantage of. Whiteside has been out a while. Having that injury is definitely something that's going to help us out. Getting a guy like James Johnson is really interesting. For instance, if Tyler Johnson is out, he was doubtful the other day with, I believe it was a headache or migraine, and then he ended up getting ruled out. I don't know if that's something that'll bother him again here, but if he's out, James Johnson gets a lot of the ball responsibilities when Tyler Johnson is out, so he's someone I have interest in. I think Deion Waiters is a really interesting play at 10.9K. I think he's a great tournament option you can get exposure to. Dragic for 12.7, he's a fine play, but again, man, he's kind of been disappointing this year. Not really someone I've been all over. So I don't know. Dragic's just a guy that I don't really like rostering too much. It just seems like he's never really gets there. I'm trying to see what he did the other night again. Yeah, he had 22.25 without Tyler Johnson in 30 minutes. I mean, he's just really frustrating at times, so I don't know. I get it, right? Kemba Walker, someone that we don't mind targeting on defense, but I don't know. For me, it's just really James Johnson is probably my favorite option, then followed by like a Deion Waiters or maybe filling in a Josh Richardson where he's cheap for maybe value. Other than that, Heat are not the most appealing team on the slate. 99.25 total. It's a 11-game slate, so not a team I'm going to be heavily targeting. Next, we got the Charlotte Hornets. Nick Batum, he's someone that's been dealing with some injuries lately. So he's someone that probably have to be monitoring what's going to happen with him and whatnot minute wise. I'm sure he's going to play though. It looks like he started the other night. He should be fine, but he's been in and out of the lineup, so that's obviously news. If he doesn't play out of nowhere, that could affect the slate. So that kind of bring that up just to bring that up and let you guys know that we never know with him. So just wanted to kind of note that. So he's someone that I wouldn't be touching on the slate. But if he sits, then there's guys at target, right? I think Kemba Walker, he could be interesting then if that happens. But I don't know. I really don't want to play a lot of these Heat players. I mean, Dwight Howard, he's getting priced up now. So I don't know if I really want to be targeting him here. He is 15.6K. I mean, that's kind of pricey on fantasy draft now. No need to play Marvin Williams. Not a lot of value there with him now. And like with Batum back, Lamb is not as interesting. So I think I'm just going to pass on the Hornets side of the ball completely. For me, it's just kind of taking advantage of that Heat value in this game. And then just, with the injuries and then just kind of calling it a day. All right, let's move on to the next one. We have the Detroit Pistons and the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are favorites here. They're 5-point favorites against the Pistons. So definitely have to, have some interest in them. It's weird, right? The Pistons kind of kicked off the year really strong. We're the number two team in the East, and now they're just absolutely falling on a terrible losing streak. Definitely think that we have to have interest on the Pacers here. Oladipo, he's been incredible. He's just super expensive now. That's kind of one of the issues I have with him. And this is not a matchup I'm just going to want to be, targeting like crazy, right? Avery Bradley defense. I know he's been so good, though, Oladipo, but I really don't think I want to play him here, right? I can either play Victor Oladipo or I can go for, I can go for $800 less and play a Chris Paul. I can, with likely no Nurkic, I can play Vucevic on a Orlando Magic team that has no one to play offense. I can get him for cheaper. I can just pay $500 extra for Andre Drummond against Indiana, which Indiana struggles against, centers, and we've seen Andre Drummond explode, so I'd probably rather have him, like Damian Lillard against Elfrid Payton defense. I'd rather have him for the same price as Drummond, so I don't know. It just seems like Oladipo is not someone I'm going to have a ton of interest in on this slate. Just a lot of these Pacers too, honestly. I think Collison maybe for 11.3 is a guy we'd be considering, but I don't know. Thad Young's been really consistent, so I have to like that. I'll read his game logs because it's been great what he's done. He's at 46, 28.5, 33.5, 28.75, 33, 26.75, 30.5. I mean, just the consistency that he can bring for your lineup. So if he fits your cash game rosters, I don't mind taking him. If you want to get exposure to him, that's a fine route to go. But I don't know. Not a lot of exposure to the Pacers side of the ball here. I think where you can get a guy's cheap, those safe options, I think they're fine in cash games. Let's talk about the Pistons though. Like, what to do with them? They've kind of switched up their starting lineup a little bit. They got Bullock in there now. Avery Bradley, he's 10K, which is really cheap over on Fantasy Draft. Kind of don't know what I want to do with him because he's just been really up and down. Had a good game last game, but Oladipo's been really solid on defense, so likely I'll just pass on him. If I go anyone, I think the guy I just want, and I mean, Reggie Jackson's been frustrating, so probably not him, but it's Tobias Harris if I pick anyone from this starting lineup. I mean, Tobias Harris is a guy that has a ton of upside. Not really scared of the Pacers front court at all. They definitely struggle. So, I mean, Harris just has a ton of upside. And I think he's the guy if I had to pick anyone on the Pistons side to take. So, that's the one guy I would take on probably the Pistons side of the ball. I mean, I get it, Andre Drummond's price. I think it's too much for me to pay, but I understand if you want to pay it. We know the type of upside that he has. So you can go him. And Avery Bradley, he seems way too underpriced. I just don't know if I'll pull the trigger on it with Oladipo covering him. And on top of that, just... I don't know. I think there's just better ways to get exposure to other games on this slate. So I think I end up passing on a lot of these Pistons. For me, it's Harris, though, right? In tournaments, I think he's the guy you can get exposure to if you want. And then on the Pacers side of the ball, anyone that's like kind of cheap enough to fit your cash game structure, like a Darren Collison, Thad Young, even Miles Turner. He's interesting, but not as safe of plays as a Collison or Thad Young. So we'll move on from that game though, because there's a lot more appealing games that we'll get to, and here's one of them. We have the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Philadelphia 76ers, 213.5 team total, with the Sixers as two-point favorites. So definitely have to like this game. It's one of those games where it's going to have tons of stars on it. You get all the stars going to be out tonight. So that'll be a fun game to just watch from, just a real-life basketball perspective. But we get to see if the Thunder can actually turn this thing around. They've really been struggling here. Paul George, he came back from injury the other day, and he definitely did not do well in his against Indiana. That shot, I think, like 3 for 12 or something terrible. He was just not a good shooting. And for 14.6K, I mean, with all these guys, I'm just not gonna play. I'm not gonna play him. He is just way too priced up over here on Fantasy Draft, where I will absolutely pass on him. I have no interest at that price tag. Carmelo Anthony at 12.1 is an interesting price, but I don't know. I just think there's better plays. It's like this team, we talked about this at the start of the year. There's just way, way too much usage to go around, right? Like Westbrook last year soaked up all that usage, and there's just not enough usage for all these guys. That's kind of one of the problems. Like, they're not playing with two or three basketballs. They're only playing with one now. So it's really, really frustrating what to do with these guys. It seems like Russell Westbrook is also hogging the ball back now. And I mean, he should be though, right? He's the way better player, way talented player on this team. So I think you could play him. And I think he's, if you want to pay up for his raw points, say there's a ton of value and you feel like you want to, pay up for all these raw points, I think that's an absolutely fine way to go. Wouldn't argue it. It's not something I think I would do. I think there's other plays I'd rather take instead, but I don't know. I just don't have a ton of interest in the Thunder here. It's really more so on the Sixers side of the balls where I have interest on this game. Obviously, like game stacking wise, you if you're playing some Sixers, I like the idea of getting exposure to some of these Thunder players, like Westbrook. If you can get him on there, that's great. But I think I have more interest in the Sixers in my cash games. The Sixers have finally gotten a lot more healthy. It's one of those things maybe we can, if we get news closer to lock, they'll become even more interesting. But like guys like Embiid and Simmons, they're always intriguing. So I have to have interest in them. I think Robert Covington in this game environment could, be a perfect fit. At that price tag, 11.9K, he still has a ton of upside, so I think he's fine. I'm not probably not going to play like a JJ Redick, even Darius Arc. I think he's fine in tournaments, but he's just, I'd rather roster him when there's like some injuries. That's when he feels like more of a safer situation. Also, the addition of Trevor Booker could kind of muddy some things up on the Sixers, but, because all they gave away was Jahlil Okafor and Nick Stauskas, and they weren't really playing a ton of minutes, but Booker's a guy that's going to get some minutes on this team. So I don't know. Again, I think it's like Embiid and Simmons are the guys I want, like coming to him, more of these starters. I think they're fine price tags on Fantasy Draft. Like I love Covington's price tag. I think he's a good play. But I mean, getting exposure to a guy like Simmons, an 18.9K. I mean, this is a good spot for him. We know Russell Westbrook. Again, he's someone that turns the ball over a lot. He's when he was last year going for the triple doubles and whatnot, he was just just trying to get assists all over the place. And I think Ben Simmons could definitely Definitely get a bunch of turnovers here and have a nice upside type game. I mean, this is definitely a good one for them. So I like Simmons here in this spot at that price tag. You're also not totally paying up for a stud there at that. You know, you're not going up like an extra $2,000 for one of the Giannis's or Westbrook's or Harden. So maybe if you have to pay a little bit down for a stud, I think that's a route that you can go. And I like the idea of if there is enough value for you on the slate, I like the idea of maybe game stacking like a Westbrook and an Embiid or a Westbrook and Simmons. So obviously it's not something that's easy to do, costs a lot of money, but I think it's a fine route that you can take. Let's move on to the next game. 209 total. The Portland Trailblazers are road favorites, 106.25 total against the Orlando Magic, 102.75. This game has a lot of value, a lot of fantasy goodness. This should be one that we definitely get a lot of exposure to on this slate. We'll talk about the Portland side first. So Nurkic is currently questionable. I mean, if we get word that Nurkic is not playing, I mean, that just gets me really interested in Lillard. I think even if Nurkic plays, Lillard's a great play, but Nurkic not playing would be absolutely massive for him and something that we want to get exposure to on this slate. Like, no doubt, he'd be one of my favorite point guard plays. I'd be all over him. So definitely something to monitor for sure on the Portland side of the ball. I think he's a great play. CJ McCollum's another good option you can go, right? Last three games, 37 fantasy points, 28.75, and then 41.25. Been good. He's obviously a nice pivot off of Lillard too, right? You can leverage over, because if McCollum has a good game, that's more than likely Lillard won't have as big of a game, like last game. Then Lillard only had 30.75 fantasy points and McCollum had, 41.25. So, you can obviously leverage off of him. I like doing that in tournaments a lot. It's something that I do, with a bunch of different guys. It's kind of a strategy I like to take. So it depends on the ownership on the guys, and especially Nurkic in and out. That's something to monitor. But, if Nurkic is out, both those guys I'm going to have more and more interest in for sure on the slate. Magic side of the ball, let's talk about them real quick. They're a team that, they're just really banged up. They don't have many guys. We got news before I came on here. We got some news. I'm pulling it up now. Aaron Gordon will start Friday. Aflalo and Isaac are ruled out. So, without Aflalo and Isaac, that's definitely going to help some of these bench guys. Aaron Gordon being in is, Fournier's been out. So, but Aaron Gordon being in definitely hurts Vucevic a little bit. Probably hurts Elfrid Payton a little too, but Elfrid Payton, where you can get him cheap, on fantasy draft right now, Elfrid Payton's price tag is 13.2K, but on DraftKings, 6K, I mean, that is really, really cheap. Problem is, they're going against the Trailblazers, and the Trailblazers are one of the better defensive teams in the league last year. Pretty crazy, because it's not like they've changed much with their team. They've only kind of, honestly added Nurkic, really, and a couple other guys here and there, but they really only added Nurkic, and he played, I think, 25 games last year or something. I forget how many with Portland, but either way, it's pretty crazy that they're a way better defensive team without making a ton of changes. So, gosh, Elfrid Payton could really dud here. But for 6K on DraftKings, I mean, that price tag is just way too cheap for the upside that he has. So I have a lot of interest in him over there. Fantasy draft at 13.2K, not as much. I still think Vucevic's a great play, even with the Aaron Gordon coming back. I just don't know who's going to stop him down low. I mean, if Nurkic doesn't play, it's going to be Zach Collins trying to do it, the rookie, or Myers Leonard trying to stop him. I don't know. It just seems like it's going to be kind of a disaster for them. So Vucevic, if you have the money for him, 15.4K, he's a good play. He would have been a great play, I think, without Gordon. Would have been a really, really good play that we were getting a ton of exposure to. But with Gordon being back in, that's definitely going to money a little bit up. But, have to have interest in Hezonja too, right? Aaron Gordon will hurt the Hezonja thing. So maybe we don't jump back on because of that last game. And maybe there's too much ownership, inflated ownership. If Gordon was out, then I think everyone would definitely be all over Hezonja. Maybe they hesitate a little bit. But Hezonja, I still think, is a fine option. It's just a matter of if he's hitting his threes, right? But I don't know. It might be the right spot to get off of Hezonja. So Simmons, I didn't bring him up yet. He's been phenomenal. I mean, his price is going up, but on fantasy draft, 12.3 is still a fine price for him. So I don't mind getting some Jonathan and Simmons exposure. He's been just really good without Fournier. The key, though, with Simmons, kind of to note, is if you're playing Jonathan Simmons, right, like last couple games, 41, 47.75 points, don't play Elfrid Payton, too. Like, they just don't really correlate well. That's kind of one of the issues with the two of them. Like, you cannot play them in the same lineup. Here's Elfrid Payton last two games. You know, I just said Jonathan Simmons. Here's Elfrid Payton's 24.5 and 16.75. I mean, that's just terrible for Elfrid Payton. So don't play the two of them together. That's something I wanted to make sure to say when talking about this game. But again, the Trailblazers are like a really good team defensively. So it's, you know, I love the Magic, you know, in this spot when they didn't have Gordon in. I thought Gordon was out. You know, that news broke obviously when I was started talking about the slate a little bit. So I saw the news come in and I just assumed Gordon was out, but, you know, muddies things up a little bit, but there's still guys to take advantage of. Still Simmons without, Fournier, still Elfrid Payton where he's cheap on DraftKings, and Vucevic is still interesting, obviously. So, yeah. And obviously with Aaron Aflalo out too, that's something that'll help, help out a guy like Simmons too, and all these other bench guys. But let's move on to the next game. We have the Los Angeles Clippers and the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are 10-point favorites. We saw the Wizards play them the other day, so that was obviously a little bit of a different situation because this this Clippers team is really, really banged up for this game. They're without Austin Rivers. Pretty sure they're without Gallinari, too. I mean, this team is just banged up. Here's the projected Roto-Grinder starting lineup we have for the Clippers. It is ugly. Sindarius Thornwell, Wesley Johnson, CJ Williams, Jameel Wilson, and DeAndre Jordan. I mean, this is ugly for the Clippers. Man, it's tough to figure out what to do here because, like, I'll pull up Court IQ and see. I doubt this lineup has much, you know, on here, but we'll run the query. Run the query on this. Let's see. Who do we got? Yeah, we have nothing here. It's ugly. I don't really know what I want to do with this team. I mean, obviously, DeAndre Jordan at his price, I think we're going to be forced to play him. I know he's a guy that really can't create his own shot, and that could obviously be a problem for him. But I think we have to, 13.9K and all these guys out, DeAndre Jordan is someone that we have to have interest in. Same with Wesley Johnson, right? He's a guy that I really would like to play, but I mean, he's someone that doesn't really create his own shot either. I mean, I guess he's going to be forced to. He's someone that normally sits in the corner and just chucks all game, but I don't know. Lou Williams, though, off the bench, he's not going to be put in the starting lineup, it looks like. Maybe he gets put in the starting lineup, but I feel like they just need his production off the bench. Maybe he comes in early, but he still will be playing a pile of minutes, and we're going to have to basically load up on him on this slate. Price tag has gone up around the industry, but he's just the guy right now here, so I don't know. I think we're going to have to just be forced into playing him. Like I said, no Blake Griffin, Gallinari, no Austin Rivers, which is a ton of shots to go around in usage from him. Milos Teletovic, I don't know how to say his name, but Milos, he's not going to play in Friday's game for rest purposes. So without him too, I mean, that's just another body that came back but is not there. So if you're wondering about that, again, like Lou Williams, we just have to load up on him. Price tag is really, you know, really, like I said, going up there all throughout the industry, but 13.8k on fantasy draft, I'm just gonna have to load him up in my lineups and call it a day because there's just too many shots for him to go around. Again, Wesley Johnson could, you know, be interesting, you know, when there's Lou Williams in there, because then he'll have someone at least pass him the ball. But with that starting line, it's definitely kind of ugly. But I'm assuming Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan are my two favorite plays in this game. I'm probably not going to mess around with a lot of this value. I don't know. Thornwell is just, he is not that good of a basketball player, but I don't know. He is like the minimum, so I get it. He's just been really, really bad. I mean, his fantasy game log is ugly. It just depends on how many minutes he's going to get. Even with, he got like 23 minutes the other day, he got 18 fantasy points, which I guess is fine, but he's just not that good of a basketball player. But there's not a lot of bodies on the Clippers, right? We have to have interest in them because there's not a lot of guys to play. So, you know, don't obviously sleep on them. There's plays in this game that we should have interest in. Even one more guy that I played in the past, and even with no Rivers, maybe is interesting, is Sam Decker. Last two games, 26 minutes and 27 minutes, and in those games, 21.5 fantasy points and 21.75. So he's another guy maybe you can consider here. So again, we have to make sure we get exposure to these guys. My two favorites are Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan, but can't sleep on some of these other guys with them just being you know, so low on bodies. John Wall, he came back the other day. John Wall should be playing in this game, so unless something crazy happens, I'm expecting him to play. And he played on a minutes limit. Only got 28 minutes. They said he'd play in the 20s, so I'm guessing he's now fine. I doubt. I'm not, any minutes limit that they say, I'm not going to probably really worry about. It's not on the second half of the back-to-back or anything like that. He should be fine to play. They said he played in the 20s last time, and he played 28. I'm assuming he'll play like between 28 and 32 this game. So if you want to play John Wall where he's cheap, like on DraftKings specifically, he's 8K. Really cheap for John Wall against this really banged-up Clippers team. I think you have to have interest in him at this price tag. The other guys, though, right? All these other Wizards, Porter, Morris, it's all of them. They're all priced up now. You know, Beal, he's 13.8K. I probably won't play those guys because with John Wall back, that's going to hurt them a little bit. So I don't know. I'd probably end up passing on these other guys. I think if I had to play one of them, if you force me to play one of these guys, it's probably maybe Bradley Beal. But yeah, I think John Wall, though, specifically on DraftKings, is someone that you should definitely be considering getting some exposure to on this slate because of that price tag. It's just really underpriced for him. So that's about it for that game. Let's move on to the next one. We got the Utah Jazz and the Boston Celtics. Really interesting game here. I mean, one of the lower totals on the slate, 199 team total. But yeah, I'm curious what the Celtics are going to do, if they're going to, you know, rest some people up or not for this game, because I was reading the other day about how they have a lot of games coming up here, and they just don't have a lot of bodies, right? Al Horford, he is you know, he's questionable right now. He was rested on Wednesday. I'm assuming he plays. I'm guessing no one else sits. Maybe we get something crazy like a Jaylen Brown or one of these guys, but I know he was worried because they had a lot of games coming up here. So there is a slight chance, I think, that they could sit somebody. So just be on the lookout for that. I'm just going to assume that they're playing when I talk about this game in general. And probably going to stay away from a lot of these Celtics with there being other games on the slate with some value and banged up guys. It just seems like there's too many guys here for such a low total. I think I'm just going to pass on them. I understand that, you know, going against Utah, specifically on DraftKings, right? I'm sure you'll get like a price decrease on some of these guys. Let me pull it up over there because they do this. They kind of price guys down against Utah. Let's see if they underpriced anyone specifically. No, they didn't really. No one's too, like, maybe Al Horford for 6.6K, but no one's really super underpriced. But if someone sits, maybe a Celtics become interesting, right? If a Horford sits, then we have interest in a guy like Baines or a Daniel Theis, something like that. But I think it's, you know, Celtics are a team that just kind of cross off on this slate and move on. Utah Jazz, Rudy Gobert, he is 6.4K over on DraftKings, really cheap on Fantasy Draft. Let me see what his price, I guess, if they have him underpriced. He's only 12.4K, same price range as a guy like Myers Leonard. I think it's fine, right? You can definitely get exposure to him. We love playing a lot of centers over on Fantasy Draft, so definitely can get exposure to him over there. But yeah, being so cheap, Rudy Gobert's last three games, I'll read them off to you. 22.25, 33.75, and then 31.25. So Gobert is definitely interesting. He's got some upside. I would not worry about him against a guy like Al Horford. So yeah, I think Gobert is a really interesting play that we should definitely be considering on this team. You know, they're getting a lot healthier though, the Utah Jazz. Rodney Hood is now back, so they're obviously going to eat into Donovan Mitchell at the price tag he's at. For sure. I believe Joe Johnson's back. I believe I saw something on him. Yeah, he's available to play. I don't know if he's going to play, but it says available. So assuming that he's going to play, the team is obviously not as banged up. So different situation. Probably going to pass on a lot of these guys, like even a Derek Favors now. He's just kind of lost his luster with Gobert coming back. So I think it's just Gobert or bust for me here. Not really going to mess around with like Ricky Rubio. I'll just call it a day and move on to the next game. There's a lot of other games we can play. So next game on the schedule, we got the Brooklyn Nets and the Toronto Raptors. Man, like, Kyle Lowry really disappointed me the other night. Like, really frustrating, but how can I not go back to the well against a Brooklyn team that doesn't play a ton of defense? I think he's interesting. DeMar DeRozan, he's a guy you have to consider here. Serge Ibaka, who's been absolutely crushing it, looked really good recently. So he's someone I want to play at that price tag, too. He's just kind of too cheap at 11.6K. You know, read you the game logs, 43.75, 32.5, 30.5, 30.5, 37, 29.5. I mean, just the consistency that he has shown in a matchup against Brooklyn, I mean, just sign me up. He's a great play here on this slate. I'll probably get a ton of exposure to him. Just got some news. Billy Donovan says Andre Roberson will start, but he'll be on a minutes restriction. So that's something to note for this, for that game. The Thunder game doesn't really change a ton, but just came across my timeline, so I wanted to bring that up. But let's move back to the game that we were talking about. That's a lot more interesting, the Nets and the Raptors. So yeah, Lowry and DeRozan, love them here. Ibaka, though, he's one of my favorite plays on the Raptors side of the ball. Probably my favorite way to get exposure to them, rather not, you know, pay up for those point guards. There's other point guards I like, and, you know, I'm probably going to try my best to get exposure to DeMar DeRozan and Lowry, but Ibaka's just a really good, cheap way to get exposure to this game. So that's kind of going to be probably my favorite play on the Raptors side of the ball if I had to pick one, but I do like DeRozan and Lowry, obviously, as well. Brooklyn side, what do we do here, right? Second half of a back-to-back, but guys like Spencer Dinwiddie, who have been too cheap around the industry, I mean, 12.9K is too cheap for him. He's just seeing so much usage here. He's someone that we have to, you know, have to be considering. I'll get exposure to him. I think Ronnie Hollis Jefferson at 11.9. I like him too. Allen Crabbe really disappointed the other night, but he's still only 8.6K. He's someone that you can consider. And then even Damari Carroll, he's someone who's interesting as well. Caris LeVert at 10K. I don't hate him as, you know, getting some backup minutes for this team at the point guard spot. You know, he's a fine play. I don't mind him. But for me, it's Dinwiddie's probably my favorite guy on the Nets side of the ball if I had to pick. But all right, let's talk about the next game. We'll talk about the Hawks and the Grizzlies and 198 team total. Man, this just feels like a game I'm going to cross off on the slate. Depends on injuries, right? You know, it's just such a bad game environment. Such a low total, just two like a really bad team going against a you know, the Grizzlies are a decent team, but it kind of depends on Tyreke Evans' status, right? He's questionable right now. That's going to be a really big news that we're waiting on, because if Tyreke Evans doesn't play, then we get a, you know, against Dennis Schroeder defense, we can get an Andrew Harrison, who's been pretty good the last couple games, 27.25 fantasy points, 35.75. So he's someone to definitely, you know, have our eye on. Mario Chalmers really disappointed the other night. He came off the bench. Harrison was the starter. So kind of if Evans is out, we can have interest in the Memphis side of the ball. If Evans plays, I don't think I'm going to be playing really anyone on this team. He just soaks up a lot of usage then, and I guess you could go and play him, but I don't know. I think there's just better plays at his price range. So I don't know. I think I'm trying to pass on the Memphis side of the ball. I get it, Marc Gasol. He's a guy that can, you know, soak up a lot of usage and be in a good spot, but I think there's just other centers I'd rather play. I'd rather load up on DeAndre Jordan and some other guys that I've already talked about and we'll get to. So, yeah, I don't know. Don't love this game a ton. Atlanta, too, they've gotten a little more healthy. They have Deadman back, or Deadman's still out, but they have John Collins back. He played on a minutes limit the other night. He played 20 minutes, but I expect that to obviously go up. Maybe it'll go up to like 22 or 25 this game, so I'm sure that will increase. But yeah, against a team like Memphis, not a lot of exposure to these guys. I know Dennis Schroeder is cheap. He's only 7K on DraftKings, which is pretty underpriced. On Fantasy Draft, he's 13.2K, so I think that's a fine price tag, but I don't know. Team with one of the lowest totals on the slate at 96, it just seems like a good spot to pass on. Let's move on to the next game. We got the Chicago Bulls and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bulls have been really good recently. I believe they're on a four-game win streak right now, I think. If not, they may have lost the other game and we're on a four-game, something like that. But they've been playing really good basketball, just getting a lot healthier. The addition of Mirotić has helped for sure. So have to have interest in some of these guys. I mean, Markkanen, he's only 10.1K, and he's been really good this year on Fantasy Draft. I'd have interest in him. Chris Dunn at 12.2, he's been phenomenal. I mean, I'm definitely going to want to get exposure to him. I know people argue point guards against the Bucks. It's definitely not a spot that we have a lot of interest in targeting, but what Chris Dunn has been doing has been incredible. I think it makes a great fade in tournaments, though, if the ownership is going to be high. Kind of depends, but I don't know. I'm curious what I'm going to do with him as we get closer and closer to lock. He's popped in my model for me, but I know people don't really want to target anyone against the, you know, point guards against the Bucks. It's definitely something that people talk about and say, oh, I don't want to target anyone against. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely don't know what I want to do with Chris Dunn here, because he's obviously popping for me and he's been just so incredible. I'll read you the game logs because I always like doing that. I know it sounds lazy, but it's it just kind of you know, wakes your eyes up sometimes and makes you realize, oh wow, I better be having exposure to this guy. 6.5K, here's his fantasy points: 40.75, 23, 43.75, 52.5, 37, 31.5. So just been really good. Again, in this matchup, I think he's an interesting fade if the ownership is high, but kind of going to be something we check out throughout the day. There's plenty of other guys to like here, too. I mean, Markkanen, like I said, 10.1K. I think he's a fine option. Mirotić, he's gotten priced up, but where you can get him cheap around the industry, I think he's a fine play. So I would get exposure to him where you can get him cheap. 12.3K on Fantasy Draft, I don't love that price tag, but let's talk about the Bucks a little bit, what to do with them. 107 team total. This is kind of high for the Bucks, it feels like. And, man, Giannis is just in a great spot, 20.7K. I love paying up for him. I think if you're going to, you know, pick between him or Westbrook, I'm going to pick Giannis here in this spot. I think this is a great spot for him to just go nuts. So I'll get exposure to him. He's probably one of my favorite studs to pay up for today. Eric Bledsoe, where you can get him cheap. I don't hate him, too, against the Bulls. I think he's a fine play. And Ethan Middleton, he's another guy you can get exposure with. All the injuries that the Bucks have, they have a lot of their bench guys just kind of banged up, and it really is forcing these guys in the minutes and getting a little bit more usage. So I think those are the main three I'm going to target and focus on, and then kind of that's it on the Bucks. But I think they're all interesting options. Let's move on to one of the better games on the slate. We got the New Orleans Pelicans and the Denver Nuggets. You know, this game is expected to be close. 112.75 total for the Pelicans and 111.75 for the Nuggets, and 224.5 total altogether. You know, Vegas expects this game to be a back and forth game. It's in Denver with the altitude, so that always helps Denver a little bit with the road team coming in. So yeah, man, this game has got a ton of fantasy goodness. Jokic is expected to be back in this game, so with Jokic being back, you know, where you can get him cheap, like DraftKings specifically, 7.7K. Again, some guys are just underpriced. If we know he's going to play full minutes, I want to have interest in him here for sure. So kind of have to get word on that first before I make my decision on that one. But Jokic, 14.2K on fantasy draft. He's a guy, you know, at that price, I love that too. So I have to have interest in Jokic here in this spot. Looking at some of the other guys, we got like Will Barton. He is questionable. If he doesn't play, I mean, that's just like Gary Harris, load up on him. He's going to be in a great spot. I'll have interest in him in the mid 12K range on fantasy draft. Great play. Wilson Chandler too. I think he's a good play. You can get exposure to. He's really cheap around the industry, so you know, don't sleep on him. He's someone I would make sure to have in cash games and in tournaments. Just like at that price, he's way too cheap. Problem is the Pelicans side of the ball. They're a frustrating bunch. I think everyone's going to be healthy now, and that's kind of going to hurt Rondo. Rondo's really going to, he started to struggle. We saw last game, and it was against Milwaukee though, right? And only played 18 minutes, which is really odd. So I could see a good bounce back spot here, but with Davis back, I don't know if I'll go there. Drew Holiday too. He's another guy now. Price has been going up, and he had a fine game last game against Milwaukee, but I don't know. I think I'll just pass on him here. If I want to get exposure to anyone, it's going to be Cousins or Davis. Davis is only, Davis is just like way too cheap, right? He's 10-3 on DraftKings. On fantasy draft, he's 19.1K. Same with Cousins, 19.1K. Like same price range as, Ben Simmons. These guys are almost 2K cheaper than like Harden and Westbrook. I mean, these guys are in this game. I mean, this is just, I'd rather have these two studs and just pay down and have like extra money to mess around with. So, I think getting exposure to Davis in tournaments is fine, in cash games too. He's just risky because of the injury risk and just, who knows with this team, because it's a 9 o'clock start and you never know who's in and who's out with this team. But if you tell me I have to pick someone, I probably would end up going Cousins just because, in cash games, because if I got like super worried about injuries and whatnot and just like randomly sitting people. But in tournaments, I think I like Davis more. But Boogie Cousins is just too cheap. Same with Davis. So these are two guys I'm going to get exposure to a ton on this slate. And yeah, this is a great game stack spot too. I'm sure you're not the only one doing it though. That's the only problem on this slate. Seems like a spot that a lot of people be game stacking, but if you can find contrarian ways to do it, I definitely think it's a great idea to do that on this slate. Let's talk about the last game. It's the Hammer though, 9:30 start, a little bit 30 minutes later than the last game. We got the San Antonio Spurs and the Houston Rockets. Really, really interesting game here. The Rockets have just been incredible. They're on this win streak. They haven't lost with Chris Paul. I think having Chris Paul, getting Chris Paul exposure, James Harden exposure is fine on this slate. We've seen Harden have big games against the Spurs in the past. I mean, this is a spot, I like the idea of paying up for him. I think it's a really good idea on this slate. Like if you told me, the big debate is Giannis or Harden, right? I don't know which one I would rather pay up for in this spot. It's really tough. I don't know which one I'm going to, I would side with at this current moment. I think it would depend on the site. If they're the same price though, it just kind of, man, it depends on the site and whatnot, but I love Harden here in this spot. He's in a really good spot to do really well. Same with Chris Paul too. I think he's like just too cheap. I don't mind getting the savings with him if you don't want to pay up for Harden. I think that's fine, but I know Kawhi Leonard's back, but he's probably not fully there. So I'm, not too worried about Kawhi causing any issues. We don't have word on I don't think we have word on like a minutes limit or anything. He's considered probable, so I believe he's playing. He only played 60 minutes in the last game. I doubt they're going to overwork him, so I'm not worried about Kawhi like guarding Harden or, all game long or just causing any issues for him or even trying to stick Chris Paul. So I'm not stressing about that. I just think this is a spot where the Rockets end up kind of maybe not running over this person, but I think they're gonna have a really good game against them. So I think Chris Paul at his price tag, he's just too cheap. I think he definitely get exposure to him. Harden too, if you want to pay up, he's a good play. Other than that though, I'd probably stay away from some of these other guys. Like I don't need I don't feel like we need to be getting exposure like guys like Ryan Anderson, any of them. They're just kind of like, you know, ever since Chris Paul came back and, you know, they're not as all banged up down low. It just kind of muddied some things up and just no interest in them. Clint Capella, where you get him cheap, I think he's fine across the industry. On DraftKings, he's in the mid 6Ks. On Fantasy Draft, he is 12.6K. So, yeah, like I think that's a fine price tag. Don't mind getting exposure through him if you want to, get exposure for cheap for the Rockets. That's a good route you can take. But, I think for me, it's like Harden and Paul are the two guys I'm looking at. And, it's going to be interesting. Like, on a site like FanDuel, I'm wondering, it's kind of like thinking it through if, you know, maybe shooting guard ends up being weak. It might be better to just pay up for Harden on this slate if we have tons of value. So, I don't know, just kind of like thinking things through my head and what I'm going to do. But obviously, like, news is going to break, so stay tuned for that. I'm sure it'll break. We got 11 games. We'll get tons of different news that'll change the slate up a little bit. But, I think paying up for Harden is something to definitely be considering. If people aren't going to do that in tournaments, I know people worry about the Spurs, and they're like, oh, the Spurs are so great defensively, blah, 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 it's too slow of a pace. Like, I would want to be paying up for him in tournaments. He's definitely on my radar for sure. All right, Spurs side of the ball. I talked about Kawhi a little bit. I doubt we're playing him. I doubt he's playing full minutes. If they say he's playing full minutes, sure. I would love to play Kawhi Leonard for only 7.1K on DraftKings and 13.2K on, Fantasy Draft. Sure, I would love to play Kawhi Leonard, but I don't know. I really don't know if I'm going to want to, pay that price tag unless I know that he's getting that as minutes. So, I think Spurs out of the ball, it sounds crazy. I really don't think I'm going to play many people. I think LaMarcus Aldridge at 14.3K, on Fantasy Draft, he's a fine play, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like the right spot for me to really want to get exposure to him. I get it. He's just, I don't know. I just don't know if I want to pay for him here. I get the usage is probably still there with Kawhi Leonard. Like, you saw it last game. 23 field goals still, 42.25 shots, but 42.5 fantasy points. But Kawhi only played 16 minutes, so I think it really depends on what Kawhi's minutes are. Like, you might say, say you're playing Harden on one side and you want a game stack with LaMarcus Aldridge. I think it's fine if you know Kawhi is not playing a ton of minutes, but if Kawhi ends up playing in, like, the mid-20s, that kind of gets me off Aldridge a little bit, and then it still won't get me on Kawhi enough, because I really want him to be playing in the lower 30s for me to want to get exposure to him here. So I don't know, it seems like the Spurs are just going to be a stay away spot for me. I know they have Kyle Anderson out, Danny Green is questionable, so it kind of depends on that news. Can maybe see us getting exposure to one of these point guards or guard options, but I don't know. It seems like the Spurs I'm staying away from for now, but be on the lookout for news. Maybe that'll change some things. Again, thanks a lot for joining me, guys. Really enjoyed talking about this slate. I think it's a really interesting one. One that we obviously have to wait for some news, though. I think there's going to be news that breaks. It's an 11-gamer. So just stay tuned for that. If you want, give me a follow on Twitter. It's at Travis Mangone, TravisManGone. I always tweet out the news as it's breaking throughout the day. And check out our RotoGrinders alerts app. That's always something that's helpful, too. If you don't have that, download that in the App Store and make sure you have the urgent alerts on, and you'll get all the breaking news for all the big stuff. If anyone's ruled out closer to lock, that'll help you out. So, again, thanks a lot for joining me, guys. For me, Travis Mangone, I am out.